We're back. If you're driving in your car at the speed of, say, 60 miles an hour, we're going to have monitor music for you for the next 5 miles. How about that for quick figuring? We're going to start with Bread, Sweet Surrender, and then If by the Holly Ridge Strings. Enjoy.
Here's Monitor Now on NBC.
And welcome once again wherever you are in the USA. This is your host, Frank Sinatra, Jr. In this half hour, we're going to be covering the new flicks with movie critic Gene Shalit. Once again, Guy LeBeau will be here with Monitor Sports. But I want to tell you, it's hard not to get a bit of the Christmas spirit working right here in Rockefeller Center. The 70-foot tree is burning bright over in the plaza with its 13,000 light bulbs. How about that for an electric bill? There are enormous crowds all over the place, and you know what? I've noticed something about them. Everybody's really got the spirit of brotherly shove.
Oh, it's a time to be jolly with the mistletoe and holly and a happy face. There is something in the air again, a feeling we should share again, a warm, cozy place. We could start with just the two of us, or maybe just a few of us, then bring in the whole darn crew of us, the human race. If we just get together, we can laugh at the weather and fill the world with cheer. We could get something going, though, even though it's snowing, we can smile away a tear. There'll be so much love, happiness, we'll be busting to say that we feel very, very kind of extraordinary this merry Christmas day. It's the time to be jolly with the mistletoe and holly and a happy face. There is something in the air again, a feeling we should share again, a warm and cozy place. We can start with just the two of us, or maybe just a few of us, then bring in the whole darn crew of us. Just get together, we can laugh at the weather and fill the world with cheer. We could get something going, so even though it's snowing, we can smile away a tear. There'll be so much love, happiness, we'll be busting to say that we feel very, very kind of extraordinary this merry Christmas.
Well, be it ever so humble, there's only one old groaner. There's Bing Crosby, his wonderful Christmas perennial. And right now here on Monitor, folks, it's Saturday night at the movies. Or is it? Anyway, right here in the studio with me, Gene Shalit, Monitor's movie critic extraordinaire. Gene, welcome back to Monitor for another evening.
Thank you, Frank. It is movie time in the studio. Unfortunately, it was not movie time out of the studio.
There wasn't reviews this week.
No, there wasn't a movie opened in New York City this week. It's the first time, I think, in... I don't know.
Well,
a long
know,
time.
Gene, I know a couple of things about you, and I also know that you do the book reviews on NBC's Today Show, and I thought maybe you might have a book to tell us about.
Well, Frank, we can talk about a book. We can talk even more specifically about an author. Eric Segal is back. That's Eric Segal, whose novel Love Story became a publishing and a movie phenomenon a couple of years ago, but rarely has an author suffered such success. The whole world jumped him. Critics pounced on the movie as junk. Famous National Book Award judges actually threatened to quit if his novel were considered for the prize. The press razzed him. The public smirked at his alleged private life. Segal was accused of being a heterosexual who liked stewardesses. His students at Yale mocked him, and he left New Haven, taking a leave of absence, which he still hasn't returned. Now, what's happened to Eric Segal since then? This professor of classics, this co-author of The Yellow Submarine, this Latin scholar, this marathon runner, this single rich young man. And I mean rich, Frank. 20 million copies of Love Story sold and still selling. The news tonight is that Eric Segal is back from Europe. I talked to him yesterday, and he says he's in really good shape. He runs 10 miles every day, which keeps him ahead of his puffing critics. Next spring, he's going to return to Germany to be a professor of classics at the University of Munich. He says one of his big problems is going to be learning how to speak Latin with a German accent. And then there is the news of Segal's new book, the first he will have written since Love Story. It's called Fairy Tale. It'll be published next March from Harper & Row. And it will be illustrated by Dino Katopoulos, who contributed art to the movie The Yellow Submarine. The hero of A Fairy Tale is young and innocent, and there's also a wicked giant who tries to thwart him. But happily, his thwarts are benign. Eric Segal told me that he would sum up his new book in one word: silly. Okay, Eric, so you'll giggle all the way to the bank with your royalties. And royalties is an appropriate word for a fairy tale. And who knows, Frank, maybe next March there will be a switch on the bestseller lists, and Eric Segal will replace Jonathan Segal. So.
Gene, is all of
don't
that
you wish there were movies in town?
Hmm? Is all of that real about the critics actually giving them so much trouble for the film that time?
Oh, yeah. He says that his trouble began when everybody really jumped all over him. It began when the movie came out because a lot of people who had, you know, they could accept the book, thought the movie was so terrible that they held it against him. I don't know.
If I'm not mistaken, Gene, Love Story afterwards then went on to be one of the great money-making films of all time.
Absolutely. It was the fastest moneymaker, I think, ever. You know, how much money it made in a short period of time. It's a fantastic story, and he said the other day that he still doesn't know what happened to him, why everybody suddenly turned on him. That really happened with the National Book Awards. It was nominated, as you know, it was going to be considered to be nominated for a National Book Award, and the judges included William Styron and the editor of the Times book section, and they said that if it were even nominated and they had to consider it, they would all resign.
That's a kind of a terrible thing. Gene, I want to thank you once again for being with us again here on Monitor, and I hope that perhaps next week we'll be back with some more movie reviews to get us out of the library for a change.
Thank you, Frank. I will try.
Thanks for coming to see me again. So right now, at 19 minutes before the hour, there's a lot more ahead of you right here on NBC Monitor Beacon.
In a small cafe on a crowded night, in a spot of light stands the singer. Then the band begins and the beat is strong and the room belongs to the singer. All the people turn to hear her sad refrain and catch the cry of pain that's in her song. But in her haunted face and in her searching eyes there is a sign that something's wrong. Now the hangs on every word, but the sounds are slurred by the singer, till the people feel every aching part of the broken heart of the singer. Still the song goes on about a love that she knew, that seemed so sure, so true, but turned out wrong. And from the tears she shows, nobody really
There's Liza, one and only Liza with a Z. Once again, folks, we're going to take a stab at a little bit of a station break here. And at 16 minutes before the hour, there's a lot more ahead, right here on the Monitor Beacon. Frank Sinatra Jr. here. We're back at Monitor. And here's Hurricane Smith.
Have I a hope for half a chance? We would ask if I could dance with you. You would you greet me or politely turn away? Would there suddenly be sunshine on a cold and rainy day? Oh, babe, what would you say? For there are you, sweet lollipop. Here am I with such a lot to say. Just to walk with you along the Milky Way, to caress you through the nighttime, bring you flowers every day. Oh, babe, what would you say? 'Cause, oh, baby, I know I could be so.
There is Hurricane Smith, of course, in a rather old-fashioned song, but pleasant just the same, don't you think? I'm informed that that particular record earlier this year, about the time of June, July, and the summer months, was a very, very big success over in England. And speaking as somebody who makes records, myself, Frank Sinatra Jr., I'd like to say that I enjoyed it because I think the string section sounds very good. Whoops, somebody just breezed by on the way to the Monitor Sports Desk, and I think it's Guy LeBeau.
Hello, everybody. This is Guy LeBeau at the Monitor Sports Desk. There will be an exclusive story to Monitor just a little bit later on. Meantime, more of the pro football playoff scene is clearing now as the Dallas Cowboys just a little while ago beat the Washington Redskins and clinched the wild card playoffs. Spot in the NFC. Star Calvin Hill had a great day to put him over 1,000 yards for this year. He is the first Dallas running back to get there, and Dallas makes the playoffs for the seventh straight year. And as this commentator predicted, the Redskins did not play superstar Larry Brown. He is hurting, and I can't blame them. Biggest of the games tomorrow, Atlanta is going to meet the 49ers, hoping to keep their half-game lead in the NFC West. But much more bruising will be that war between first-place Green Bay and second place, Minnesota. It's going to be played in brutally cold Minnesota, and the Vikings usually beat Green Bay by forcing mistakes. Tomorrow, though, Viking defense may not be up to that very tough job against an improved Packer team, which explodes and doesn't make too many mistakes anymore. I have just talked to Alan Page, the superstar defensive man of Minnesota, as to whether the Vikings were at their peak.
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, you can always be better. You know, even if you've put together a string of 10 victories, you can always do better. To talk about it is just a waste of time, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, maybe Alan Page doesn't want to talk about it, but I will. Nothing, I think, can keep Green Bay from its first playoff spot in 6 years. They're going to win it and win it all tomorrow. Collegiate basketball had a major upset today as Indiana beat the Kentucky Wildcats 64-58 with superbly great execution. The Hoosiers played an errorless second half. Before the game, though, Indiana coach Bob Knight was asked by me whether his team was as poor as the national rankings had indicated. You see, Indiana hadn't been ranked at all. Listen to what he said.
To your thoughts about ranking, we're unranked at all, and that's probably very deserving.
Coach, if you want to buy this tape pack, it's going to cost you. And finally, 3 weeks ago, this commentator broke an exclusive story to the effect that the ABA merger with the NBA was, to all intents and purposes, dead. Neither league admits it because of legal agreements between them, and as I told you, the ABA is convinced that the NBA's stubbornness is what has prevented merger agreement. I also told you that in vengeance alone, the ABA would then go in for a crash expansion program to erect ABA franchises everywhere a basketball fan breathes and literally blow the NBA right off the court. Here is the inside exclusive story of a new franchise the ABA is ready to create. Talks have been concluded already between the owners and league officials. The lawyers are now doing the paperwork. The team, believe it or not, hold your bonnets, is going to play in New Jersey for the next 2 seasons because they have no arena at present. They'll play in Newark, Atlantic City, and New Haven till their official arena is erected, and it's going to be in the complex where the New York football giants are going to play. I know what you're saying. Hey, that's impossible because Hackensack is not the required distance from where the New York Nets play. How can they get a franchise there? Well, believe it or not, the new owners, led by Mark Binstein, who used to coach and be general manager of the Pittsburgh franchise, have agreed to pay the league $1.5 million for that franchise. And in addition, they're going to pay the New York Nets $2 million indemnification to allow them to play just 50 miles away, and the Nets have agreed. Part of the ownership is made up of one of America's most exclusive families, a name I promised not to reveal tonight, but will next week. Here's the interesting final note. When Binstein first began setting up the deal to put basketball in Hackensack, he also talked to the Knicks and Ned Irish. He wanted to give him some money for the rights. But now that the merger seems off, Irish won't even get an invitation to come on opening night. So repeat, a new ABA basketball team comes to New Jersey on top of a pro football team. Looks like we're going to have to kill all those Hoboken jokes. This is Guy LeBeau at the Monitor Sports Day.
And thank you, Guy, for the sports up-to-the-minute word here, and of course the Hoboken jokes. Music right now, something new by the New Seekers. Come Softly to Me.
I want you to know I love you so. Please hold me so tight. Love me all through the night.
There's a brand new release by the New Seekers. Well, friends, I'd like to turn here for Jerry Lewis's brand new announcement. Jerry, you see, needs volunteers to collect urgently needed dollars for the fight against muscular dystrophy. Won't you help? Send your name, address, and phone number to Jerry Lewis, Box 950, Hollywood, California. That's Jerry Lewis, Box 950, Hollywood. Gentle on my mind, Enoch Light and his orchestra. Well, it's on my mind, of course, that I'd like to invite all of you ladies and gentlemen listening around the country to stay with us a little later on tonight when we go upstairs on top of the RCA building here in Rockefeller Center to the Rainbow Grill. And all Monitor listeners are definitely invited, and this is Frank Sinatra, Jr. We'll talk more about it a little later in the program. Back shortly.